from the ArmeniaProud.com studios.
Genatsit Hayed.
This is A Toast to Armenia with Jano Kabinjian. A comprehensive look at the Armenian culture. Only on the Lineup Media Group Podcast Network.
Genatsit Hayed, Pailuis Inchpes Ek. How are you, Chris?
I am great. How are you? Welcome back.
I'm glad to be back. I tell you what, man, it is so beautiful out in L.A. I didn't stay out in L.A. I was out in Santa Monica. I was at Lowe's Hotel.
It's one of the best.
It was such a good time. And then you got that coastal drive there, Malibu and so
forth. PCH.
It was unbelievable.
It's a great place.
One time, though, I got to tell you, I picked up my cousin, right?
Yeah.
And traffic is at a dead halt. Nothing moving.
Shocking.
This one 18-wheeler comes right in front of us, cuts in front of us, and on the back of this truck it said, problem with my driving, call 1-800-something. And my cousin, Armenians,
yeah,
you know, and he goes, I'll say it in Armenian, then I'll translate back to you. He said, I sort of archiva yet yegur, and I go, and which means get in front of this guy again. So I got in front of him, and he starts yelling at the truck driver, and I go, what are you yelling at him for? And he says, why do I need to call him? I could just yell at him right here. Why do I have to go anywhere? I said, that's his company you call to complain about. And he goes, I'm yelling at him. I don't need a phone number.
That's great.
So there was that.
That's slightly awkward.
Yeah, but you know what? That's the Armenian way.
You know what always scares me about the worst part of driving in L.A.? Is you're like stuck in just absolute horrible traffic, and you get these guys on the motorcycles that flying 100 miles an hour in between the lanes.
Yeah. That's amazing. I don't know how I could even do that. But in any case, it's good to be back. You could only stay there so long, and I'm tired of the drive, the plane, and all that stuff. So I'm glad to be back here. There's no one on our highways
back in the studio,
or anything.
Yeah. No, we're empty yeah. Here.
Hey, Chris, our guest for this week is Vahe Berberian. And Vahe, I got to tell you, man, this guy is a well-known comedian, a painter, a playwright. And I even watched one of his clips on YouTube. Motivational guy as well.
He's everywhere. I love
and
it.
He's
good to have you.
Vahe, it is glad to have you on.
I hope some of your skills seep through the phone into me.
Yeah, me too. How are you?
I'm good. Good. Very good.
Well, we messed up before, so here I got to tell you this. I was at my cousin's house, and when I brought up your name, Vahe Berberian, I mean, all of a sudden, people dropped the kebabs and everything, and they were looking at me like, how do you know him? I said, I think I'm going to interview him. He's going to be on our show in a couple weeks, and man, I tell you what, you cannot believe how popular this guy is, Chris, in the L.A. area.
Man, and
thank you.
That's if you're going to be, you know, you're going to have some stature anywhere,
it
that's
might
the place
as well be
to have
LA.
It.
Yeah, yeah. So how are you doing out there, Vahe? How's everything going?
All is well. Very, very. It's such a beautiful, beautiful day, man. Times like this, I feel lucky to be in L.A., you know? But I've been very busy, very, very busy.
I'm telling you, though, Vahe, that traffic you got out there, I don't know how you people do it, man.
I know.
It is
That's
rough.
Why I live 8 months out, or 6 or 8 months out of the year outside, like in Europe, Armenia, the Middle East, you know. I'm traveling all the time. And then I come back, I really miss L.A., but the traffic, yeah.
Yeah, it's horrible. I figured this out, Chris, and Vahe, you guys got to know this. Some guy, I went to his house, and we're eating again, and Armenians eat a lot.
Oh, yeah, I'm an honorary Armenian, I have that.
Yeah, and he said, he said he spends about 1 hour to go to work and 1 hour back, so that's 2 hours a day he puts in. So that's 10 hours, 10 hours a week, which adds up to 20 days out of their life in 1 year. 20 days they've lost on the highway.
I'm extremely familiar. Oh, yeah. I had the exact same. I had an hour and a half in the morning. I drove from over near Pasadena all the way out to Malibu every morning. It's an hour and a half on the 101. Awful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Horrendous.
Yeah. This is why I honestly have created a sort of a mini cosmos for myself. I hardly ever drive.
Smart.
My studio is right next door, I'm lucky in that way. But LA is, I was reading a few days ago, LA is one of the worst traffic cities in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why I think, Vahe, you have all that hair. Because you are so relaxed. I could see people, I'd be pulling my hair out on that road. So I could see why you're so relaxed. You've got a beautiful, I checked out one of your paint works too. What was that one big canvas work that you did that? Is that called Time Lapse or something like that?
Oh, yeah. The Time Lapse one.
That is just unique, man.
That was painted during a live performance. I do these live performances every once in a while with music and people watching. That live performance is just over 700 people watching it.
You did this in front of 700 people?
Yeah. More.
Unbelievable.
That one was with Eru DJing, and it was really nice. I've done a few of those. One of them we did for Tim Robbins with Serge Tankian and one of my other friends, John Densmore, the drummer of The Doors, and a few other
Very
friends.
Cool.
We got together to do an event like that too.
Bravo. That's amazing. Yeah. And the thing is, I mean, you like being up on stage. I mean, you're pretty comfortable up there. When you do the Armenian comedy too, when you're doing that, I checked out on YouTube a couple of your shows and so forth. It is so sophisticated. It's kind of like the stories that we go through as Armenians, and I love it. It's kind of like you're sitting around with friends, and we start talking about our moms, our dads, and so it's great stuff. It's great stuff.
Mostly from my experiences, personal experiences. Yeah.
That's probably some of the stuff that we all go through as well about our moms and so forth. And you could see our moms acting like that. So it's beautiful listening to that and watching it as well. When you're up there, Vahe, you're pretty comfortable. Do you ever run into a crowd when you step up there and you look around? It looks like a rough crowd. They all look like a kind of like a Brezhnev. I mean, you're looking at him going, how the hell am I going to make these people laugh today?
You know what? I'm very lucky because I'm at a point where I've been doing this for such a long time that wherever I go, I have my hardcore followers. So it's never like completely strangers walking in and saying, okay, make us laugh now. Anyway, in that sense, I'm very lucky because I do have a devout following, and they know where they're walking into or what they're walking into. And this is why, for a while, a lot of my friends, American friends, comedians, they always ask me to do it in English, and I refuse because I don't want to start in small comedy stores and develop the comedy and travel to do this, do that. I'm very comfortable with what I'm doing now, especially because I have so many other things going on, as far as writing, painting, directing, and so on. So I just probably do in the beginning, I had those trepidations, you know, when you walk out, like, for example, you're in, I don't know, Jordan, for example, Amman, and you're up, and you go up on stage, and you have no idea who these people are, you know? But then, like, 3 minutes into it, you realize that they know all of my work, you know, previous works, and they're just waiting to laugh, you know? And I say hi, and they start laughing, and like, all of a sudden, I feel relieved.
You're warm. Okay. Yeah.
These are my people. So
these are my people. Yeah. You know, another thing that I noticed about your work up on stage is I can understand you. I mean, I'm married to an Armenian from Armenia, and I have a hard time with her. You know, and no offense to my Armenian friends out there from Armenia. I'm starting to really pick it up. I'm starting to understand it better. But when Vahe's up on stage, I mean, it's like I understand everything. You talk just, I mean, the Western Armenian. Can you, whenever you're with the Armenians from Armenia, do you change the dialects at all? Does that change at all?
Sometimes I do when I'm performing in Armenia. Sometimes I do. And especially because I have a huge following, a high Ashkenazi following here in LA, you know. Almost 30%, and then the other 30% are Iranian. So,
right.
So it's a very, very mixed crowd. So I've realized that the best thing to do is speak a generic Armenian, an Armenian that is not laced with non-Armenian words, because we all tend to do this, you know. The Armenians from Hayastan, they use a lot of Russian words.
Right.
The Armenians from the Middle East, they use a lot of Arabic or Turkish or Farsi, you know. So we all, in our dialect, we always lace them with all these other languages. And I've realized that if you speak a proper Armenian, you know, it transcends all the other sort of, you know,
yeah,
difficulties.
And I think that's what made it comfortable for you to, whenever you have people in Jordan or Amman or something like that, that they're that generic Armenian language, and you know, it's like like home. Home away from home.
Absolutely. Here's the thing. It's also, you know, it's not just L.A., because L.A. is a very, very, very mixed crowd. It used to be that, for example, you went to Paris, and in Paris, Armenians were mostly Western Armenians, a lot of them from Istanbul background, in the Beirut, and so on. And in the French Armenian community, it's a very Western Armenian community, you know. But now you go and there's so many Hayastantis in Baskahais and so on. It's like, there's such a diverse crowd that you have to be very careful. And I think it's a good thing. I really think it's a good thing.
And jumping the subject here, you did some work with Roger Kapelian. You're in that.
What a guy!
He's been our guest
before many times.
Yeah, he's one of our favorite guests.
Oh.
And Roger had a book of God of War.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you right now, that's where I seen our man here, Vahe.
Yeah.
And Vahe, is there anything behind that?
No, man. Roger is a great guy, and I really love what he does. And he's a good friend. And it's very appropriate that I personify a pagan high priest. You know.
Yeah, he knows about it. He just mentioned that. He just said he's that. I'm glad you know about it too. Yeah, he's unbelievable. So you guys are good friends too.
Yes.
Okay, that's great. So what's...
I've known Roger since he was a kid.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And that was from Beirut as well?
No. Roger's dad is a writer, and he was a friend, and so that's how I know Roger.
Right.
Of course, later on, when he grew up, we became...
Sure.
Friends. Yeah.
Sure. We've had Sevada Grigorian on our show. He's an Armenian artist as well. You've seen his work?
Sevada Grigorian.
Yeah, he's it's amazing some of the works that he's put out. He's in China right now and so forth.
Really amazing stuff.
Yeah.
He has a very unique style. Very, yeah, if you saw it, I think you'd say, oh, that, yeah.
And the work that you do and the work that he does, it's kind of different artwork, but how much time do you put into it? I mean, you just brought up this canvas work. When you sit down, though, does it take longer for something to come out? Because one of your things that you put out, and I listened to this interview, it was brilliant, Chris, what he said.
Yeah.
He said that, you know what, there's times when you put work on canvas and you just look at it and then you say, is this really work that's sure. going to be good for the public yep. or good for me or something? And then sometimes it hurts to say, no, it's not, and I got to cover it up and do some new paint to it. That was brilliant what you said.
I do that all the time.
That's cool. I've never heard of that. Yeah,
there is such a thing in art. There's such a thing as this phrase, living with your art. You know, mm-hmm. you create something and you look at it, and while you're working on it, especially if you've been drinking or you're stoned, you think, "Wow, man, this is fantastic! This is so good."
Right.
Then the next day, the thing is, will it survive the next day, the next morning? You know, and sometimes it does. You walk in and it's like, it's still good.
I'm
sober and it's still good.
Right.
And but sometimes there's this even one iota of doubt that this is not up to par to what you do. And so what happens is I leave that work on, or I leave it around for days and days, sometimes weeks, and months, until and I put it up again and again and again, thinking, what does it need? It needs something, man. I'm not 100% satisfied. And then sometimes it's just one line, one little line, one dot, or one color, a dab of color, and it's like, it's done.
Now,
other times you say, okay, screw this. It's never going to satisfy me, so I will paint over it.
Okay. And when you're in this, brain thought, is this your thinking as people watching or people observing or as you observing?
Never. I never take into consideration what people will say or think. It's always me. It's always I need to please myself.
I got you.
And when you're writing, you have that consideration. When you're making a movie, you're thinking, will they get this? Did I make this clear enough? Questions like that. But with your painting, painting is like poetry,
Right.
You're basically doing it to satisfy your urge to express yourself. And I've always said this, it's like this. Painting, art in general, is like going to this cocktail party, and life is a cocktail party. You drink and drink and drink. Anything that happens to you is a drink, The death of your father is like a huge glass of vodka, You fall in love, it's another drink, You listen to some music, that's another drink. and so on and so on. And then eventually you get tipsy and you get drunk, okay?
Right, yeah.
So the art is putting your finger in your throat and throwing up, you know? And this is why the criterion of art is its honesty. You know, because everything you have consumed should be out there. You know, you cannot hide anything. Your political affiliations, the books that you read, the music that you listen to, you know, everything is out there. And,
right.
And then once it's out, once it's that catharsis is accomplished, you start drinking again. You know?
Bravo. Come in. Hey, you know, I got to ask you too, Vi. This is a question that it's just out there. When you were talking about drinking, when the Lebanese, we call Oli something else than what Armenians from Armenia call Oli. I mean, our Oli, I kind of remember it like ouzo, to where you put a little water in it, it turns white. I mean, real white, Chris. You can't see through it. And that was our Oli. And when I'm around the Armenians from Armenia, it's Oli is vodka.
That's the word you tried to get me on a while back.
they have some homemade Oli in Armenia, too. That's amazing. So what's your next project? What are you working on right now, Vahe?
Right now, I'm working on a few different things. For one thing, I have a movie coming up.
Well, you got to tell us about it. We'll promote the hell out of it.
That's exciting, yeah.
Okay. The movie, we shot the movie in Yerevan about, last summer, during the summer. I was in Yerevan for 3 months. I wrote the script. It's a script based on a story by a friend of mine, Narden Nazarian. We shot it. I co-directed it with a friend of mine, Vahik Pirhamzai, who is an Iranian Armenian.
Okay.
And so we shot the entire movie in Yerevan, and now we're in post-production, and we're almost done, and we're hoping to open it in August. It's a light comedy, but not farcical. It's a cute little story about two friends going to Armenia to shoot a movie.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's a little self-referential, you know.
When's this movie come out? And are you putting it in the Apricot Festival and all this stuff?
I don't know about festivals because we've been running a little late. You know, we wanted to send it to a few festivals, especially Cannes. But I don't think we will be able to. And one of the problems with festivals is that they always want to premiere it, you know? And you can't wait an entire year. Once you pass that, you know, the deadline,
right,
it's futile to wait an entire year. So, but we're hoping to open it. This is wishful thinking, probably. But August 4th in Yerevan.
August 4th.
And August 18th here in L.A. and other cities. But it's a movie made for Armenians and non-Armenians alike, because it's in Armenian, and yet it's subtitled, and it's very universal. The theme is very universal. I mean, the whole idea was that we wrote the script. I wrote it in English and then translated into Armenian to make sure that any joke or anything that will not translate into English will not be in the movie.
Right, right.
You know what I mean.
Okay, yeah. And what's the name of this movie again?
It's called Our Movie.
It's called Our Movie.
Very cool. Yeah.
Well, you can't go wrong with that, Our Movie.
You're going to see our movie.
If you want to go see our movie.
Exactly.
Yeah. And now, Vahe, is this going to be touring all across the country as well?
We're hoping. As I said, there are a few different countries that will open all at the same time.
Well, I'm talking about United States, because we did something for Chris Chambers, and we were bringing people into the theater left and right, promoting the movie. Yeah, so we'd love
Chris
to do
Chambers
the same for you.
Chris did a good job, man, with that little movie. Yeah. Really, he did a very good job.
It was a low-budget film, tell you what, the guy did do a great job, and we promoted the hell out of it, Vahe, and it seemed like he told us at one time, you know what, we didn't even promote this in this area or this area, and people were flocked out there. So it's beautiful that hopefully we had some input into it. So we'd love to do the same for our movie.
Yes. we're hoping that it will open in all these cities, and I'm almost, look, there's a lot of my non-Armenian friends have been tested, and they like it.
Beautiful. So, you know what? If you get the Odars watching it as well, you can't go wrong with that. I mean, the Armenian base, but the Odar community definitely is a big plug. So you got to.
Right.
Yeah. Right. So you got different projects. I would be just solely focused in on this big one right now. You got other things going on as well?
Well, I am focused on it right now. But as I said, we're almost done. Well, we're working on we haven't locked the picture yet. We're locking it maybe this week, and then the music comes in, and then the sound design. And we're lucky to have a very, very good sound designer who's a good friend of mine. He's Academy Award nominee for Amélie. If you remember that film, the French film. He's a French Armenian guy, Laurent Kessian.
And you work
and
with
him. He does all of Michael Mann's films. Yes.
Oh, beautiful. Man,
So we're very lucky to have him.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, Vahe, you gotta come back on our show maybe a couple more times, and you gotta promote this and make this thing happen on our show. We'll gladly give it a big plug. And for all that unfinished artwork, if you want me to come over, and if it's sitting there for a month, 2 months, I'll throw a couple dots here and there as well.
Sure. You know, sometimes I paint on nude models. That would be
you don't want me out there. No.
No, that would be more interesting. I get a lot of...
I'll definitely sit in on that. Yeah, of course. But you don't want me in front of you on that one.
No, I was talking about offers.
I know, but if you wanted the Armenian god-looking thing, forget me. That's not going to happen with me. Yeah. One of your toga bits. I just thought of that on your comedy whenever you brought up the Armenians all looking like they're in a toga party. Remember that one?
That's
beautiful.
Toga!
Yeah. Anyway, Vahe Barbarian, my friends, look for this movie coming out August 4th, somewhere in that time frame, right, Vahe?
Yes.
Sometime in that time frame, we will definitely have Vahe back on for promotional.
It will be on my Facebook for sure. You can follow me on Facebook, Vahe Barbarian. We'll also updated on my website also.
Now, will you have our movie on Facebook as well, so people can friend that page as well?
Yes, there will be an our movie a page.
Okay,
probably it will be. I think it's our movie, the movie, or something like that. Yeah.
Excellent. Excellent, Yechbar. I wish you nothing but the best and all your work out there. You're making people laugh and you're making a beautiful art. I mean, this guy does it all, Chris. I couldn't do any of it. And so, but in any case, God bless and keep up your good work.
Thank you, guys.
And we'll stay in touch.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Much love to you both. Okay.
Thank you.
All right, my friends, that's Vahe Berberian. And check out his movie, Our Movie, coming up in the future. Thank you, Vahe.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
And another great interview, Chris.
That was really, really interesting. He's a Renaissance man.
I tell you what, I thought at first it was just about the comedy and so forth. No, Vahe has a lot more in his word I'm looking for?
Repertoire.
Yeah, repertoire. Yeah. That's what we...
He's got our movie.
He's got our movie. And there's a repertoire.
Yeah, exactly. He has repertoire.
Yeah, he's got an Armenian name to that, too. Anyway, my friends.
Repertoire.
Hey, if you're out there, and by the way, I've got a lot of people, Chris. I was out in L.A., and they're saying that they've been on our site, and they go to Amazon all the time.
I love it.
Buying stuff from our site.
We're seeing it here.
Are we really seeing it?
Yeah, we're really seeing it. Yeah,
that
absolutely.
That a boy. Thanks a lot, guys. And our restaurant out there.
Yes.
Tumanyan Kinkali Factory.
In Glendale.
Yeah, Dikran, the owner, got in touch with me. He texted me and said, hey, you know what? We're getting volume here.
I love it.
People are getting their 10% off.
We're activating our base.
ArmeniaProud.com, my friends. Go to Tumanyan Kinkali Factory. It's a restaurant in Glendale. And I tell you what, you can't go wrong. It's great food. And obviously, a lot of you are going right now and bringing up our name, ArmeniaProud.com. And you know what? I know a lot of Armenians out there feel, you know what? I'm not going to say I need 10% off. But please, it helps us out. Yeah. It helps us out and keeps the lights on the show. So just mention ArmeniaProud.com. You get 10% off and you help Chris and Jono and Brian on the show.
Yep.
So thank you, and keep up the great work there. And again, it's all about our Amazon and our Audible.com, audibletrial.com. Chris, can you fill the people in on that one?
So if you actually, this is a great story. I recently saw the movie that's out there right now. It was all about the big the housing issue in 2008 when the housing market crashed. What was the name of the movie? The Big Short. I saw The Big Short recently.
Okay.
Awesome movie. Steve Carell, really, really good movie. I keep hearing from everyone I talk to, you got to read the book, okay?
Uh-huh.
I don't have time to sit down and read a book. I've got stuff going on, project at the house. So what did I do? I went to ArmeniaProud.com, hit the Audible banner. I got it for free.
There you go.
I got the Big Short Audible book for free, audibletrial.com/Armenia.
You know, you can't go wrong on our site. You get that free. You go to Amazon, you click that one.
Yep.
You help our show out there.
All the above. They're right on the right-hand side of the page.
And we also have Tumanyan Kinkali Factory on the right-hand side, too.
It is.
Click that. Boom. You got ArmeniaProud.com, 10% off there as well. I tell you what, too, Chris, how can you go wrong with Lineup Media right now?
A lot of exciting stuff happening.
One of my favorite shows, though, is Let's Get It On. Let's Get It On is all about MMA.
Yep.
And I tell you what, fans out there that love wrestling, and I know a lot of Armenians out there can't get enough of wrestling. Yep. Matter of fact, we're champions in the Olympics and wrestling and so forth. But you know what? MMA fighting is unbelievable right now. It's so popular. UFC has taken over.
Massive. Yeah, I know. It's awesome. And you know what? Exactly the same way with our show and with all of the Lineup Media Group shows.
Right.
You have a whole lot of ways to listen to it. You can listen to it on the website. Let's Get It On podcast.com. You can listen to it through our Armenia website, through our Facebook page, through iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere that you can hunt down a podcast. You can find Let's Get It On the same way you can find Armenia Proud.
Exactly.
All of the above. LineupMediaGroup.com. You know, what these guys have access to some of the highest names in the sport that nobody else gets.
Big time fighters are on the show.
Yep.
And John gives the perspective of what we don't hear about.
But I think the most awesome aspect of the show is that he's actually speaking as being the only other guy in the cage when this shit happens.
Exactly.
It's the fighters and John, and that's
you're
it. There's
so
nobody
right.
else. You hear from Rogan, hear from these other guys. They're not in the cage with the fighters.
No.
With the blood and the hitting. It's he's got an unbelievable history, and he's very eloquent in the way he explains.
Oh, he gets to the point,
yeah,
he doesn't sugarcoat it. Matter of fact, Chris, you're not going to believe on Let's Get It On, Big John gave a big shout out for the Armenian genocide. One of the people asked him, I think it was one of the wrestlers, MMA wrestler. In any case, I don't know, but the question was asked about. Matter of fact, we got a little cut from that.
Yeah.
All right, play it, Brian.
Hey, John, Chael Sonnen here. I was just wondering how you continue on with your life in this podcast where the Turkish government continues to deny the Armenian genocide. Thanks, John.
You know what? I got a lot of Armenian friends, and this is a serious subject. It really is, because there's, this is no different than the, genocide that occurred in World War II with, the Nazis and what they did in concentration camps. It's a serious subject, so I'm not going to even, play up to it. It's something that occurred. Hopefully we learn from it. We get smart enough that we never allow those things to happen again. But we do, because they're happening right now in places like in Africa and stuff. There's people being slaughtered. We have people that are doing things out of religious beliefs like ISIS, that they all need to die. That has nothing to do with the Muslim faith. It has to do with a radical, idiotic group that needs to be decimated. How's that? And if you want to come after me, come after me. I fight back.
And you know what, Chris? That was great.
That was
really
good.
Great. And
it
that's what
strong,
this guy's
position.
Show is about. He lays it on the line.
That's what we need from the politicians.
That's what we need. And that's what you get with the Let's Get It On, guys.
Let's Get It On.
You can't go wrong with
com.
It. You can't go wrong with it. Yeah, that's great. That's great. And thank you, John, for bringing up the Armenian genocide. And thank you for that guy that called in and left that message, too. And speaking of another show, a little wacky side, I got to tell you this one.
It's a little on the fringe.
Yeah, it's a conspiracy show that I've been listening to. It's part of our lineup media. And I said wacky because, there's a lot of information out there on the nick of time that you don't hear.
Yeah.
You don't hear about this stuff.
No, stuff about Stanley Kubrick
and
all
Nick
kinds of-
brings all... Oh, what? Nick's at it again.
Honestly, that was.
I
feel a little intimidated.
Yeah,
no. The best show ever. Love Nick of Time podcast.
I can't get enough of Nick of Time. Nick of Time on our show on Lineup Media. You can't go wrong with that show either, my friends.
It's also available everywhere. So you can get it through our site, through his site, through iTunes, Stitcher, all of the above.
Right. Listen to a car. After your audibletrial.com, you listen to...
NickofTimePodcast.com.
Yep, exactly.
That's it.
Exactly, my friends. Hey, Ani, how are you?
I'm fantastic. How about you?
We're doing great. I got Chris next to me.
Hi, Ani.
Hi, how's it going?
Wonderful.
We're doing great here, and Brian's working the boards. And what's been going on with you?
Well, actually, today I had the day off from work, and I was very busy, but I'm a bookworm, but I'm always on the go. So I was on audibletrial.com/Armenia.
You were on our site.
Yeah.
She was on our site. How great is that?
Yeah, exactly.
That's great.
And they seriously have everything, And I walk everywhere, so from point A to point B, like, at least I get 20 minutes, like, increments of the book I'm into at the moment. And, in a few days, like, I'm through a book, and then it's the next one, and then the next one, and the amount of knowledge I'm gaining is
really
great. And
I tell you what, how great is it? Because whenever you're driving...
Yeah.
You and Sarkis are driving in those mountains and so forth. And you know what? You don't want to talk that much. You put on that audibletrial.com/Armenia. I mean, Jesus, perfectly.
It's perfect. And the internet connection in Armenia is actually very good and very fast. So, and almost anywhere, even in the mountains. So it's pretty great,
excellent.
I must say.
You can't go wrong with that. And speaking of can't go wrong, what do you got for us?
Well, it's very interesting because I had planned to talk about this and then it happened to me this morning. So I want to talk about spirit animals and spirit guides.
Hmm.
and the power animal. And this morning I happened to have a vision on my current spirit animal, and I'll talk about what that means. We all have spirit animals in our lives. A few of them come and go at different phases of our lives, mm-hmm. but we all are born with one power animal. And usually we already know what it is. It's something that always we're drawn to. We see more often in visions. If you have your cup red, it's usually the most common animal found in your cup. Or, you know, how you kind of read clouds and you kind of make out the patterns into shapes and animals.
Yeah,
and
I thought that was just fun stuff, that you kick back and look up and you see an elephant with a donkey next to it or something.
Yeah, totally. But I mean, they're messages, just another form of signs that are everywhere. And basically what they're here to do is to guide us. For instance, different animals will show up at different times. That means when that certain animal shows up, you are to take on the characteristics of that animal in order to accomplish whatever it is that you need to accomplish at that specific period of time. So it's very quite interesting.
Kind of frightening too, because all I see is elephants and jackasses and stuff up on the clouds. So I don't know what the hell that's got to do with me.
Good. I mean, elephants, you think about how powerful they are, right?
Right.
And how noticeable, and they're very loving when they want to be, right? If they're not disturbed.
I like to see a cheetah, though. I would like to see a lion.
Yeah, they have a good relationship.
No lions or cheetahs or anything. Okay.
Yeah, and you know what? The thing with donkeys is they can survive in many, many places, and they can reach places that, you know, other animals can't. And people make fun of, you know, the ass all the time, but they're actually quite wise and quite useful for humans anyway. But yeah, and a lot of these concepts usually stem from shamanism. And if you look deep into the history of shamanism, it was kind of created around Siberia.
Right. Siberia.
And and they just found evidence. I mean, it was always kind of a theory that many Native Americans across the Americas had come from the Bering Strait in Asia that connects to Alaska. But now it is proven that many Native American ancestry comes from Siberia and those areas as well, which isn't that far from Armenia, I must
Siberia, yeah, that's what, only 10,000 miles or 5,000, something like that. But in any case, all right, okay, so, Ani, you're reading this stuff. How is this, okay, what kind of a basis does this have in your life?
Well, basically, I'm in a big transition phase, and I feel like my power animal has always been the peacock. I mean, I've always been very, interested in, you know, the feathers, and it appears to me at the most interesting, odd, and unusual, ironic times, and it's a very good guidance. But at this, and it kind of disappeared for a while, and actually the animal that has presented itself to me recently this morning is the cobra, a giant red cobra, which is I wasn't expecting, but now I'm ready for it. And basically what it tells me is, in everything I'm doing right now, I must act like a observer, collect as much detailed information, and use all my senses as much as I can. And then when the time comes where I need to attack, I need to attack, get what I want, get noticed, and it's a high level of respect.
You know, Ani, in football, when I played football in high school and college, that was my nickname, the Cobra.
He was the Cobra. Oh. Yeah, I can vouch for that.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Interesting. Any advice for someone that is...
Isn't that unique that you just been seeing the Cobra, now you're talking to the Cobra?
You are speaking to the Cobra.
Huh? And the Cobra is saying to you right now, you are doing well in life, Ani.
You are. And you're very, very soothing and calm. And hey, Ani.
Hey, are you the Cobra? She's asking the Cobra here. Why are you jumping in
I'm
here?
I'm the
Assistant Cobra.
I'm the Assistant Cobra / Python.
Yeah, he's the Python.
Hey, Ani, I have to ask you because I've after hearing some of your segments and stuff, I was wanting to know. So you are into Reiki, right?
Yes.
What do you know about Reiki massage?
Oh yeah, I mean that's what I do. It's not like a deep tissue massage, but the
this
hands
is the rocks
are put
and
in,
stuff, right?
You can't. Yeah, you use. I use rocks. After I feel like it's right for the certain client at the time. Sometimes they're very powerful, so I wait for a few sessions before I use the rocks. But basically, I put my hands in positions of the energy meridian points of the body, and then the body tells my hands where the pain is through heat. And so my hands go there. And then when the rocks come in is... basically like a full-on recharge.
Okay.
And opening channels and letting your natural energy flow more naturally and I want to say more powerfully through your body. It kind of
awesome.
Awakens inside.
Yeah, I'd always wondered that. That's very cool. I've heard a lot about it. I just, you know.
Yeah.
It's
a very interesting thing. Yeah, and I really, really recommend it for anyone for any reason, because the energy knows where to go, what to do, and even if it's emotional stress, it'll help with literally physical pain, whatever it is. It helps. It really helps.
Well, that's great. Yeah. That's great. And I tell you what, where can they find all the information on your stuff, your work, and so forth, Ani?
Yeah, Energy Healing Armenia on Facebook. You just type it in, and I try to put some interesting articles, some of my own experiences on there. Yeah.
Ani, I'm going to jump in here. If there's anyone in Armenia that wants to find you for some sort of, do you have seminars? Do you have classes or anything like that?
I do. I host workshops all the time. Yeah, I do it mostly in Yerevan, but I'm actually working on having one in Stepanovan, which is like a very forested area in the north. I'm really excited. There's a new cafe there called Karahunj, and it's a really cool, chill cafe. They have live musicians and poetry nights. It's something kind of different for the region. So that workshop is going to be all day. We're planning it, and it's going to be free for the locals there.
Okay, and they can find this on your site as well. On Facebook?
Absolutely.
Excellent.
Absolutely.
So you guys, if you're out there in Armenia and you want to get involved in something like this, find Ani on her site on Faith Healing Armenia.
Energy Healing Armenia.
Energy Healing Armenia. Did I say faith?
Yeah, we'll edit that out.
Oh,
yeah.
Jesus. I'm sorry. I meant Energy Healing Armenia. Take it easy. Yeah. Take it easy. You see? Yeah. That's the Cobra messing up there.
It's a
yeah, but in any case, that's great. Energy Healing Armenia, and my friends, you can't go wrong with it. It's great stuff, and that's how I found Ani, by the way, guys, because I really wanted to just relax a little bit, and I found the site, and it was unbelievable, and I said, I got to have Ani on our site. So
I'm so happy to be here, honestly, on this show. It's fantastic, and
thank you.
Range of guests that you have on.
This week,
awesome.
I can't wait for you to hear this one. It's with Vahe Berberian, and he's
so funny.
He's funny, and he does it all. He does playwrights. He does directing. The guy's a painter. We talked about his paint work. I mean, I thought it was basically, just comedy skits. No, not at all. This guy is
top notch.
Yep. All right, you got anything planned for Easter Sunday?
One more thing before I go.
Go ahead.
To everyone out there, when your spirit animal appears, pay attention and nurture that animal because it is a protection. And you kind of have to build a good relationship so it works for you and you work for it in that way. And it may change over time, but you usually always have one. But whatever changes, go with it. It's what it feels right.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, and my friend is actually getting married on Easter Sunday, so I'm really excited. I'm going to be in the wedding, and it's going to be really interesting. Very Armenian wedding experience.
Are they allowing that? Do they allow weddings on Easter Sunday?
You know what? A lot of people have asked me that, and yes, because it's the last day after Bas or Lent. Why not? It's a happy occasion. Yeah. Everyone's already dressed up.
Yeah.
And anyone can crash the wedding. They're going to be at the church anyway, so.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, that's great. All right, Ani, have a great weekend, and have a great Easter Sunday, and we'll be in touch with you next week.
Thank you so much.
All right. Take care.
You too. Bye.
Another great
awesome show here. Really,
and we
good
had
show.
we had Ani and she talked about power animals or whatever.
Spirit animals.
I was actually thinking about some shish kebabs.
Yeah.
As when she was talking about power animals, I kept thinking of big cows ready for this weekend. But hey, I didn't want to mention that with her being on. But I'm sure Mariam would have enjoyed it. But guys, Mariam is not available this week. She's on a little vacation. It's Easter Sunday and the Easter weekend. And I think Mariam and the family, they got something planned. So we'll have Mariam on next week. And as for our show, you know, have a great weekend,
too,
guys. Have a great Easter weekend and celebrate with the kids. The true notion of what Easter's all about for the first Christian nation ever. God bless every one of us out there. And from the Armenian show, Genatzit and Kisher Pari. We'll see you next week, my friends.
Tune in next week for another episode of
Genatzit Hayed,
A Toast to Armenia with Jano Kabenjian. You can find the show online at armeniaproud.com. Or download and subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, and all major podcast outlets. Plus, join the conversation on social media at facebook.com/ArmeniaProud or at ArmeniaProud on Twitter. Get all of the Lineup Media Group shows at lineupmediagroup.com. Oh.